Morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra, Tzadi Ches. We start today with the Mishnah on the very bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. This should sound familiar. We've discussed this just a day ago in the daf, but we were discussing it in the context of the Gemara, and now we're discussing it in the Mishnah. We're singing inside in the Mishnah. Person sells wine to his friend, Vehichmitz, and then the wine turns sour. Goes bad, it turns into vinegar. So the seller is not chayv. He does not have any kind of liability. He did not sell the wine with a liability, and therefore nature happens and wine goes sour, and I'm really sorry, and it's unfortunate. It's an important correction, but if it's known that the man wine sours, and it does so annually, and the Rashbam writes b'chol shana, right, this is an annual event that his wine sours, okay? What can I tell you? Some people just have that kind of luck. But we know that it's ours. So, the Mishnah says, there is a mekachtos. So, this is considered mekachtos, considered a voided sale. The Rashbam writes, because what happens is when the buyer says to the seller, hey, I'm interested in your wine. Now, I'm just telling you right now, let's be clear. I'm going to be holding on to your wine for a long time. The Gemara's expression that we saw a couple days ago with the Rashbam's quoting right now is that I plan on cooking with the wine. What's the deal with cooking with the wine? I'm using it in small increments. So I'm going to be using a little bit now, a little bit later, a little bit after that. In other words, the assumption of the Gemara is that if I'm going to drink the wine, so then yeah, one sitting, maybe two sittings. I'm really not describing me at all. But if I'm cooking with the wine, so it's going to take some time. So I'm telling you, that I'm going to be needing the wine for some time now. So I'm continuing in the Rashba. Because look, if I didn't tell them that I'm going to be cooking with the wine, and in other words, so there could be an assumption that I'm going to buy it and I'm going to drink it. Pretty much within the next, I don't know, day, two, whatever. So then you could drink it and you didn't have to leave it around. Remember, writes the Rashbam, that look, in terms of what the majority of buyers' behaviors are not going to impact the halacha regarding mamnos. When it comes to monetary law, as long as there's a chance that you can drink it right away, that's enough in order to validate the sale. Rov is not a determining factor when it comes to transaction and the finality of a transaction. So, if you didn't tell me you were going to hold it on long term, and there's a possibility that you're going to drink it right away, so then I, the seller, am going to assume that you're going to drink it right away. I can assume that you're going to drink it right away. Shekein hashad de pagal shiyo pagal shiyo. Perfect. So now, the Rashbam sets up the case in the Mishnah. When is it a mekachtos? Only when the seller says to the buyer, let me turn that around, only when the buyer says to the seller that I plan on holding it long term. And the wine annually, typically, goes bad, so that could be considered a mekachtos.
What is it mekachtos? You know it. If everybody didn't know it,
right. I saw that question coming.
It's the minority.
Yeah.
What's the point of
right. It's meaning even I saw that question coming. Even though annually it does happen, but it shouldn't be happening. Meaning it's still the seller's responsibility to sell wine. Yes, it's true. We know every.
No,
I know. I hear you. I hear you. I understand. I saw that question coming. I really did. It's so funny. I so anticipated that. But I guess in defense of the Mishnah and you know and the way we're saying over the Mishnah, you'll say something along the lines of still it's not. In other words, what the sale is wine, and therefore it should be wine. And then at the same time, you're right. We know that's going to go. We know it's going to go bad. Okay. V'im amar lo. Continuing now in the Mishnah. V'im amar lo yayin mevusam. Now, what if we say that's yayin mevusam? So mevusam, basically, it's wine that's going to be long lasting. Ani mochalach, chayv la'amilo ad hatzeres. The wine's going to last until Shavuos. Okay, Shavuos is coming up, right? We just counted last night, the 19th day of the Omer. So we're not halfway there yet, but I guess it's we're counting. So anyway, so what's so special about Shavuos vis-a-vis wine? Summertime, yeah. That's what the Rashbam writes. Ad hatzeres of alom and hatzeres ve'elach shechom tkufas tamuz mekalkal afil. Even if it's wine which is long-lasting wine, but the heat of the summer, and you can start feeling it right now. the heat of the summer, so that's really going to hurt the wine. So even when the seller says, hey, this wine is going to really last you a long time, it doesn't have to last past Shavuos. Vayashan mishalishtake. Now, what if the seller says, I'm selling you wine which is vintage? Well, I'm using English words, but the Mishnah's language is yashan, wine which is old. So it has to be mishalishtake, it has to be from last year's season. Miyushan, that's even an older term. So mishal gimoshanim has to be 3 years old. Otherwise, it doesn't qualify as miyushan. So again, a lot of discussion that has permeated throughout the 4th, 5th, 6th parakim of Baba Basra, continuing to this very day, and that is basic assumptions that are made between buyer and seller when the seller advertises a certain thing, like wine which is Mivusan, or Yashan, or Miyushan, and what is the expectation that is created by making such advertisements. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yossi.
It's better wine.
Huh?
It's better wine.
The Mishnah doesn't say. I assume you're right. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina is commenting on the Mishnah, and we're going back to the Mishnah, the first line of the Mishnah, which is that when I sell wine to my friend, and it's machmitz, and ain't uchay b'achriyusa, and I'm not liable for anything that happens from this point going forward. So on that, Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina says, lo shenu ala ben kankanim delokeach. When is that true? When am I, the seller, going to be totally off the hook on the sale? That's when we transfer it from my kelim into you. You're the buyer, the buyer's kelim. Aval b'kankanim democher, so amar leha chamer chava kankancha. But however, if the transaction involved not just the wine, but also the barrels as well. So in other words, it's the seller's barrels. Now, maybe, let's just for the purpose of our discussion, let's assume that the seller's not selling his barrels, because if that's true, then it's the buyer's. But let's just assume that the seller's saying to the buyer, look, right, you want the wine, fine, you want to hold on to my barrels for some time, that's fine, but they're still my barrels. So what the Gemara now is going to argue, what Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina is going to argue, is that the mocher, if the wine is still in the mocher's barrels, that now still becomes a problem of the mocher. Why should that be? Well, let's take a look at the Rashbam. So the Rashbam says, so when the buyer says, okay, give me the wine, and there's transferring now of the wine from the seller's barrel into his barrel. So the Rashbam writes, you could very well say that, you know why the wine went bad? Because it's your barrels. I don't know what the story with your barrels are, but your barrels caused the souring of the wine. And then contrast that with the next part of the Mishnah, where we know that this seller's wine typically goes bad pretty quickly. Well, there, in terms of assigning blame, assigning fault, we know the seller's wine goes bad pretty quickly. But here now, if I transferred it from the barrel of the seller to the barrel of buyer, so now we have a very good argument to make that this is a buyer's issue because it's in his barrels. However, if the wine is still in the kankanim of the mocher, look at the next Rashbam. Matzi amar lelokeach afilos mamruba hachamecha vakankanecha. The buyer says to the seller, look, I know I bought this wine from you, and I know the wine belongs to me, but look, wine went bad. Take your wine back. Take your barrels back. Look, I understand I bought it, but clearly it went bad really quickly, and this is not a me issue. It can't be me because it didn't go into my barrels. My argument to you is you sold me a bad product. Because we didn't transfer it from your barrels into my barrels, and it went bad really quickly. It's not normal. So what seems to be a reasonable explanation is you sold me a bad product. Now, in terms of how can we discover until a later point in time? Okay, discovery happens sometimes at a later point in time, but the only plausible explanation is that you sold me a bad product. Okay, quotes the Gemara back in Bab Metzia, talking about how discovery can sometimes come at a later point in time. But it seems reasonable to suggest that you sold me a bad product. Now, the Rashbam goes back to a position of Rav that we talked about in yesterday's daf, or I should say 2 days ago. In the meantime, however, so this is a halacha according to Rav Yossi Rabbi Chanina, that if the wine involved the transfer of kelim, So then, seller says to the buyer, look, it's unfortunate, but that's a you problem. If the wine remains in the kelim of the seller, so then the buyer could say to the seller, I don't know, it seems to be that you sold me bad product. So the Gemara says, okay, but the seller can now say to the buyer, wait one second. Okay, I granted that the wine was still in my kelim. But let me ask you a simple question. How long have you been holding on to the wine for? Meaning, you know what you're supposed to do with wine when you buy it? You're supposed to drink it. I mean, that's in other words, it's a perishable, right? It's like going back to the store with fruit that you bought 2 weeks later and saying, you know, the fruit went bad. But that's what happens with fruit. It's a perishable. So can't the seller say to the buyer, you know, it's funny, you're coming to me a couple weeks later telling me that the wine went bad. You were supposed to drink it. So the Gemara says, Lo tricha damale le mikveh. So we heard this already once before in the Rashbam, but now the Gemara is saying it. And that is where buyer says to the seller, no, I told you I was cooking with the wine, which is code for, I told you I was holding it on for some time. So in other words, so what you should have expected is to sell wine to me that's going to last for a good amount of time. So the Gemara says, under these circumstances, now it is going to be the seller's issue, not the buyer's issue. So basically now, the way we have it constructed in our Mishnah says that when the seller says wine to the buyer, and then the wine goes bad, so the Mishnah says pretty clearly, that's a buyer's problem. It's unfortunate, but that's the buyer's problem. To which now Rabbi Chanina is qualifying. And it's going to be now in a circumstance where, A, the wine was not transferred from the barrel of the seller to the barrel of the buyer. And B, the buyer notifies the seller that he plans on holding it for some time. Under those two circumstances, now the seller is going to have to bear responsibility and liability if, in fact, the wine goes bad. Okay. The Gemara is a little bit bothered by where we've just painted ourselves. We painted ourselves into a small corner. So now, when is the way the Mishnah has it set up now, where the Mishnah says no liability is where we A, transfer the wine from one to the other, and B, we also say that the buyer told the seller he plans on holding on for a long time. Why not just simply say that the Mishnah is talking about a scenario in which the wine remained in the barrel of the seller, and there was no communication between buyer and seller. Why don't we explain the Mishnah like that? It's a little bit easier to explain the Mishnah like that rather than pigeonholing our Mishnah to where there was a transfer and there was a communication. So Amar Rav Masis and Kashisa. So Rav says, yeah, you're right, but if you look at the Mishnah and you read the Mishnah really carefully, you really do arrive at that conclusion. How so? Diksani, because the Mishnah says, because the next case of the Mishnah is that if it's known that this guy sells wine that typically goes bad, so that's a mekachtos. Now the Gemara says, now, why can't the seller say to the buyer, look, yeah, my wine goes bad? Good. People are saying that all over town? Good. Okay, but it takes time for my wine to go bad. My wine doesn't go bad right away. You bought it. It's a perishable. You should have drank it. That's it. It's that simple. So, So it must be that the only reason why the seller can't make that argument is because the buyer told the seller, hey, I'm buying your wine and I plan on holding it for a long time. Now, I know the rumors circulate that your wine goes bad, but I'm just warning you. I'm holding it onto it for a long time. I expect your wine to stay. And in the event that it doesn't, and he has that kind of reputation, it's noted that his wine does go bad, so that could be called the mekachtos. Fine. So the Gemara says, so since that case is where there was a communication between buyer to seller, so the first case of the Mishnah also must be a communication between buyer and seller, where buyer said to the seller, I plan on holding it for a long time. And now that we have that communication, so then what's going to exempt the seller? So the only thing that's going to exempt the seller is if it was transferred into the kelim of the lokeach. Okay. So far, what do we? Where are we at right now? We're at one explanation of the Mishnah. It's a little bit complicated. It's not that bad. It's a little bit complicated in that the Mishnah talks about an exemption to the seller once he sells the wine. And according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, it's really only going to be limited to a scenario in which the wine was transferred from his kelim into the barrels of the buyer. Upligid Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef. Now all this argues with Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef. Dam Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef. Chamra Mazel Damari Garim. And Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef says, you know what? I really think that the only factor in what will result in wine going bad is going to be ownership and the mazel of the owner. So in other words, according to Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef, it does not matter whether the wine was transferred or wasn't transferred from one barrel to another. Communication, no communication, it simply doesn't matter. We will say that people have mazel, and with their mazel that they have, so their mazel now will affect everything they own, including their wine. And you know what? Maybe the wine was supposed to last for a very long time. But you own it now, and you have mazel, and your mazel infected the wine. Sorry for the strong language. And your mazel infected the wine. So, okay, that's your mazel. And the Gemara says, and how do I know that? The Pasuk says, Shenemar, Va'avki ayayin bogeid, gavar yahir. The Pasuk in Chavakuk says that wine rebels. Rebelling wine, it's inanimate. So what does that mean? By the way, a really simple pshat is that wine can cause a person to rebel. That's a simple pshat in the pasuk, but it's really, I mean, if again you read the pasuk carefully, the wine is bogey, the wine is rebelling. So how is the wine rebelling? So it's rebelling against its master, who has a bad mazel, and that's why the wine can go bad. Okay, so what do we see over here? Basic machlokus amongst the Amoraim in terms of the Mishnah and the application of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that when a seller sells wine, so he's no longer has any liability. Is that cut and dry, or is that going to be limited? So what we just saw together in the Gemara is a machlokus amongst the Amoraim. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, limited. The exemption is only going to be in a scenario in which he transfers the wine from his barrel into the buyer's barrel. And that transfer can cause the wine to go rancid quicker than normal, and under those circumstances, then the seller is off the hook. But if the wine remains in the seller's barrels, so then the seller is still going to bear liability. That is according to Rav Yosef Rebbe Chinin. However, according to Rav Chia Bar Yosef, no. Once the seller sells the wine, so then the wine goes bad. It doesn't matter where the wine is, where the wine was contained, was it poured, was it not poured. Nothing will affect this halacha, simply for the reason that we will say that the mazel causes the wine to go bad. Amar of Mari Haiman Diyahir Afilo Ainshi Beis Alamikabo. A man is arrogant. Now the Gemara here is going to go off on a little bit of a tangent, but the reason why we're going off on this tangent is because we quoted the Pasuk in Chavakuk, so it gives the Gemara the opportunity now to stay on the Pasuk and to teach a couple of Hashkafic points from the Pasuk. A person is arrogant. The word Yahir means to be arrogant. We see the Gemara talk about it every now and then. Like Yuara is when a person is religiously arrogant, so the behaves in a way in which it seems like he's doing so for religious reasons, but it's more than it's more than his level is at. In fact, later on we're going to talk a little bit more about that idea, but the Gemara uses that in general. The Gemara over here is talking about just general arrogance. The person is arrogant. Afilo incha beis olam mekabel. So no one could tolerate him. People in his own family who tend to like him a little bit more than others, even people in his own family are not going to like him when a person is overly arrogant. Shenamar, Pasuk in Chavakuk, Gever Yahir, Velo Yinveh. The Pasuk says that when a person is Yahir, the Yahir means arrogant, Lo Yinveh. What does the word Yinveh mean in this context? My Velo Yinveh, Binaveh Shalom. Even in his own house, a person is not going to be tolerated when he's arrogant. Let's say a person exalts himself by wearing a talis of a Talmid Chacham, and meanwhile, ain't a Talmid Chacham. He's not really a Talmid Chacham. He will not be allowed entrance into the walls of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What are we talking about when we're talking about the talis of a Talmid Chacham? So the Rashbam reminds us. I'm reading the Rashbam. This takes us back to the third parak of Baba Basra. Some time ago, about a month ago, talis shel Talmid Chachamim keitzad kol she'ein chaluko nira mitachtav tefach. So the Talmid Chacham used to wear something long. Okay, back in Europe, it was popular amongst the Talmidei Chachamim that they would wear long. In the Hasidic community, it's popular that they would wear some sort of long coat. Utsniyusa Yaseirasahu, the Rashbam describes. And obviously, it's all covered anyway, but this is extra tsnius, right? Identifying that the person is a Talmid Chacham. The Gasus Hulamishin a Talmid Chacham, but for a person who is not a Talmid Chacham and dresses the part, so that's arrogant. It's that's a form of arrogance. And as a result of that, the Torah says that he will be banned from a certain spiritual connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ksiv hacha v'lo yinaveh, and the Gemara again stays on point when this pasuk in Chavakuk. The Torah says, the Navi says, lo yinaveh, uksiv hasam el neveh kachacha. So we're talking about using the word neveh as a reference to neveh kachacha, the house of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a certain, again, however we're best to understand it, but there's a certain spiritual disconnection that person will have from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amarava. Okay, Hashkafa now is over. Back to halacha, back to the selling of wine. Haiman dezavin lechavise dechamra lechan va'a. Adaita lizbuye. V'takef apaga o atilsa. So, the Gemara over here talks about a simple business transaction where basically the sale is done on consignment. Take a look at the Rashbam. Haiman demazman lechavisa dechamra lechanvani. Moser chavish shalol lechanvani. What a person does is that he gives his barrel over to a store owner. Kedelim korsayayin bechanusa. Store owner obviously has a store. Obviously has people coming in to buy. And so he hands it over. Vishtaker chanvani ktsas ubalabayis. And over here, it's a consignment. So basically now what the store owner is going to do is he's going to take all the product, he'll take it on credit, and he's not going to have to pay back the owner of the wine until after the sale is done. So a simple question. When you're selling something on consignment, whose is it? Whose product is it? Is it the original owner's or is it the store owner's? And obviously it's a question now of liability. So, continuing in the Rashbam, v'chamar b'shusa demarikai. Well, we're not really asking the question because we know. We know that when a person's selling on consignment, it's not his, it belongs to the owner. V'eina chanvani ela shliach ba'ama. How do we view the chanvani? He's just simply a messenger. Lito schar. Now, schar tircho. In other words, yes, he's going to get paid, but that's for the effort that he put in. V'hilkach im hichmetz apago atilsa dedana kodin shemachar kulo. So, now, let's say that some of it's ours, so it's not going to be the liability of the store owner. It's going to be the liability of the original owner. Let's go back to the Gemara. So, I'm going to start again. Amar Rava. Haiman dezavin lechamra chavisa dechamra lechenva'a adaita lesbuye vitakif apago atilsa. And then it gets rough. Right, half of it or a third of it. Dinahu de mekabale mine. Now, basically, what the store owner says back to the owner of the wine is, you take it back. In other words, I'm selling it on consignment. I'm a shliach, but I am not the owner. It's your wine, and therefore you take it back. V'la marnela deloshani bebarza. The Gemara says that's true, but only in the circumstance where the store owner didn't change any of the spigots, right? I was thinking pipes, and I knew like there was a better word. Okay, only if he didn't change the spigots. Aval shani bebarzalam, but if the store owner changed any of the spigots, so that is a physical manipulation of the wine barrel, which could directly have influenced the souring of the wine, and therefore then the store owner is going to have to bear that liability. V'lo amarinella delamati yuma deshuka. And the Gemara says, now, let's say market day has come and gone, and now the store owner says, look, I got some product left over, and it started going sour, and now I'm going to give it back to you, the original owner of the wine. At that point, the original owner of the wine says, wait one second, it was market day, and people were coming in and out, and you didn't sell it? Meaning, no, I gave it to you, and your shlichus was to sell it, and specifically on market day. And now market day has come and gone, and now you want to return it to me? No, that's not why I gave it to you. I gave it to you to sell. Your job was to sell. and you had the opportunity and you missed the opportunity, so then it's then it becomes the liability of the store owner and not the original owner. Amar Rava, one more business construct, and that is Haiman de Kabel Chamer Adaite de Mamtele le Pavarsa Deval Shafat. Okay, a person accepts wine in order to sell it, and basically here we have a similar to the previous, but over here we're not giving it to the store owner, but I'm basically giving it to a middleman in order to sell. And the way we're going to construct this is basically it's going to be like an ISCA. It's going to be, I am providing the capital, and then my guy is going to go and sell. Take a look at the Rashbam over here. The Rashbam... Right. Haiman de Kabel Chamer de Mechavre. Lemachzit Schar. And basically, the way that the business model is constructed is that the guy who's taking the wine to go to port is going to be taking it with the assumption that at the port, they're going to be selling it at a higher price. There's going to be a profit. And we're going to split the profit. Now, in terms of how we are praising it, we're praising it with what it is right now, selling it right here, right now. Meaning that is going to be the current appraisal of the wine. And then we're going to go out to port, and we're going to sell it at port with the assumption that price is higher over there, and whatever profit we make, we split. As far as loss is concerned, we're going to split the loss. Okay, this takes us back to Bava Metzia. We discussed this extensively in terms of having an ISCA business between the venture capitalist and the person who's actually going to be doing the business. And in those circumstances, we'll split the profit, we'll split the loss. And so that means that if anything happens to the product, we are going to share the burden of the loss. Now, here, the capitalist, the one supplying the wine, says to the middleman, here we go. I'm telling you that we're going to go into business, and you're going to turn around and sell this at a profit. But my instruction to you is very clear: you're not to sell it here. You're supposed to go to this port. Actually, it's identified the port of Deval Shafat. You're supposed to go to this port, and you're going to sell it there. And those are my instructions. And now, with those instructions being very clear, Shiba Oso Malkam, I'm just finishing up the Rashbam, Shiba Oso Malkam Hayu Mochrim Yain Biyokir, it was known, and that's, in other words, the guy who was supplying the wine, he knew that this is where we're going to make our money. V'kodem Shigil Hashem, Zal Hayayin, B'chol HaMakom, Osu Picheis, Michvei Dam Shekiblo. And then, I mean, life happens, the business happens. And what happens is, he's got the wine, he takes it down, he takes it to the port where he was instructed to go, and he gets there, and now wine went down in value. And now he's selling, but not at a profit, but rather at a loss. And so, let's go to the Gemara now, now that we have the case set up. Haiman de Kabel Chamer Adaita de Mamtele le Pavarta de Val Shafat. So again, so now the instructions were very clear that the middleman is going to take the wine to Val Shafat, Adamati Hasam, and while he gets there, before he gets there, Zal. The cost of the wine goes down, the price of the wine goes down. Dinahu de Mekabaleg. So now, from the perspective of this particular arrangement, so now this is going to be on the capitalist, on the one who was supplying the wine. And the reason why is because he was the one who made the instructions very clear. Meaning, had it been left to the middleman to determine how exactly he's going to make his money, he would have sold it here. He would have sold that at a profit. Meaning, the first profit opportunity he would have had, he would have sold. But because he had to follow the instructions of the supplier, so therefore it's as a result of those instructions that there was a loss, and therefore he turns around and says, it's your fault, which is accurate.
Is that the responsibility of informing that the prices have gone down? Yeah,
I mean, yeah. In other words, there's already a certain amount of trust created between the two parties.
He was in charge of making decisions, right?
Yeah. Right. In this case, that's exactly the point. He wasn't in charge of making decisions. Meaning, the supplier made the decisions. Okay. Ibailu havechalamai. Okay, so now, here's what we know. We know that in the event that he got to the port and the price went down, so he doesn't have to share the loss. That loss is going to be totally burdened by the owner, because he was the one who instructed him to go there. The Gemara says, okay, let's ask now a related question. Let's say he went to port, the prices didn't go down, the prices remain, but the wine soured, and the wine turned into vinegar. And so now, is this the kind of event where they're going to have to share the loss? Or can the middleman say, look, I was ready to turn to make a profit right away, but because of your instructions, I had to go to port. I had to go to this particular port. And now, on my way there, the wine soured. So is this also going to be a scenario in which the middleman can turn around and say to his venture capitalist, look, I appreciate the opportunity, et cetera, but because of your instructions, the wine soured. Or do we say no? So the Gemara says, Amarle Rav Hillel le Rav Ashi ki havan be Rav Kahana amalan chalalo udaloka Rav Yosef Rav Chanina v'ikadami afilu chalanami mekabel keman ka Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. So the Gemara says, well, this takes us back to the beginning of this morning shiur. Meaning, remember the beginning of this morning shiur, Rav Yosef Rav Chanina talked about, if the wine is not transferred from one clean to another, it still remains the liability of the seller. Over here, it's similar. It's not exactly the same. It's similar. Being that the middleman never transferred the wine from one barrel to another, and then the wine soured, can we now make the argument that the souring of the wine goes back to its original owner? If you subscribe to Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina, the answer is going to be yes. If you don't subscribe to Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina, so the answer will be no. And therefore, they're going to have to share the loss as much as they were ready to share the profit. So the Gemara basically says, machlokas, meaning it's going to be a debate whether or not, as he was following the instructions and took the wine to the particular port, and then the wine soured as he got there, is the souring of the wine entirely attributable to the original owner? Or is he going to have to share the loss? The Gemara brings down a debate on that issue.
But once he accepted the barrels, isn't it the partnership started?
The partnership started, but it was... Well, I mean, when you say partnership, meaning he wasn't an investor. He was just there to make the money.
Correct.
Right.
Well, like, but he shares the profit or the loss.
Yes.
Right? So once he gave him the barrels, he took the barrels. It's in his possession.
Right. But the Gemara is arguing is that if the loss can be attributable to the owner, because of the owner gave very specific instructions, and because of those instructions, so that created the loss. So then the Gemara says he doesn't have to share the loss. He only has to share the loss if it's quote unquote normal. You know, the loss is, you know, normal circumstances, so to say. Okay, so Yasha Mishal Ishtaked, we are just a couple of points before we move on to the next Mishnah. We're talking about wine that was marketed as Yashan. So we learned in the Mishnah, it has to be from last year. Tana, Umi Yashin V'Holech Arachag. And the Braisa tells us that where it is... Okay, the Rashman points out over here that this Braisa is talking about the Miyushan, right? The Miyushan has to be 3 years old. And it has to be v'holei chadachad, meaning it's not just has to be 3 years old, but it also has to have lasting power as well. The Rashman writes, it has to be 3 full years. It has to last not only into the third year, but the end of the third year. And that is going to be until Shavuos. And if it doesn't make it, meaning if it's advertised as Miyushan and it doesn't make it to the end of the third season, so then that is the Mocher's that's the Mocher's liability. Okay, we are done with wine. That was a lot of wine talk. more than I even know, more than I understand. But the wine talk already started back on Sadi Hay, Sadi Vav, Sadi Zion, Sadi Ches, half of Tzariches. Okay, we're moving along. We're now in the Mishnah on the very top of Tzariches and Beis, and we are now continuing the discussion into other transactions. Hamakaba Makam Lechavero. Let's say a person takes on a place for his friend. We'll be more specific in just a moment. V'chein Hamakaba Makam Lechavero La'asos L'Bayis Chasnos L'Vno U'Beis Almanos L'Bita. Or let's say a person takes upon himself to make a house for his son, or a base almanus libito, or God forbid, his daughter becomes a widow, and now his daughter is moving back in with him. So he's making now, in addition to his house, so now, basically, the contractor agreed to build an extension. And, you know, without having, you know, an architect and plans, and so what is the minimum amount that is expected from the homeowner when he's contracting the contractor to build an extension? How big an extension are we talking about? And basically what we're going to be learning together is, like, what's considered a big enough room for a person to live in, or a couple, or a young couple to live in? Now, it's great, by the way, because as we've mentioned already a number of times, we in America tend to be a little bit spoiled. One of those things we don't like to point out, but it's true. We are a little bit spoiled in terms of, you know, what we consider to be comfortable space. You're going to see in the time of the Gemara, and truth of the matter is that many of the world lives this way, in the time of the Gemara, so it was what is considered a home is what we would consider to be, like, I don't know, like a storage, like a storage facility. So, not even. So, anyway. So, how much is considered a house? Bona arba amos al sheish. Divir Rabbi Akiva. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, we're talking about 4x6. Okay, 4x6. Everyone ready? So, let's go. I'll go conservative. I'll say that an amma is 2 feet. So, we're talking now a room of 8x12. Okay, that's a nice sized room. 8x12.
Like my tent, I used to
do. 8x12 is my sukkah is bigger. I mean, you know. Okay. 8x12. Okay, Rabbi Yishmael Amar Refes Bakar here. Now, if you think that's a small facility, so Rabbi Yishmael, you're in good company. Rabbi Yishmael Amar Refes Bakar who? Rabbi Yishmael says that's good for cattle. Okay. Harotza Lasos Refes Bakar Bonadal Amos Al Shesh. Now, if you're going to make a refus bucker, if you're going to make a facility for your oxen, so it's going to be 4x6. Bais katan sheish al ches. Now, a small house is going to be 6x8. Gadol, a big house, 8x10. Trachlin, you want to make for yourself a palace, yud al yud. Okay, so now we're at the point of 20x20 feet. Okay, that's a palace. Okay, Ramo kechatsi arko kechatsi rachvo. Now, in terms of the height, so we're good. So now we have the width and the length. What about the height? So the height is going to be half of the width by the length. Raila davar, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Amar kibinyan ahechel. It's just like the hechel. Hechel was 20 by 40. You take 20 by 40, you add the two together, that's 60. You take half of that, that's 30. And the height of the first base of Mikdash was 30. Second base of Mikdash was bigger, but first base of Mikdash was 30. So that's how you see that is basically standard building code where the height is going to be half of the length plus the width. Okay. We're now talking about what are the assumed minimum dimensions of an extension, a slightly larger house, a palace. Okay. Lama l'lamisne, the Gemara points out over here, base chasos levno, base almanos levito. The cases in the Mishnah were very specific. And the first two cases in the Mishnah is you're building an extension for your son and his new wife, or your daughter who unfortunately just became a widow and is going to move back in. Listening base chasos levno ulabito, base almanos levno ulabito. So the Gemara says, now, the cases are very specific. Why is your son with his new wife moving in with you? And why is your daughter moved away, and if she became a widow, she's moving back in with you? So the Gemara says, Milsa Gavorchi Kamash Malan. Because the Gemara points out that the Mishnah, in addition to teaching us some of the most basic transaction halachas regarding the contract and the extension, the Mishnah also is using the opportunity to teach us a little bit of Musar as well. And the Musar is, Kamash Malan, De lo darcha de chasna lameidat be chamua. it is not appropriate for a son-in-law to be living within proximity of his mother-in-law. It's inappropriate. And the Gemara says it's inappropriate. Now, to use the word aser, I don't know. I mean, in other words, it's, you know, I don't know if we're going to go that far, but in other words, it certainly falls under the category of extraordinarily good advice that a son-in-law should not be living in proximity to his mother-in-law. And the Gemara quotes Ben Sira. Okay, Ben Sira comes up often. Ben Sira was written sometime during Baisheni, and it's not canon, right? It didn't make it into Tanakh. The Gemara quotes it every now and then. It's like Mishlei. In other words, they are just good, smart statements that are made. But for reasons which I can't articulate, but it probably a function of nevuah, but that's me guessing. I don't know that, but whatever. It didn't make it into Tanakh. But the Gemara quotes it, and the Gemara says it's written in Ben Sira. Ha kol shekalti bekaf mazayim. I weighed everything. I measured everything. Velo matzasi kal misubin. I didn't find anything lighter, meaning less meaningful than subin, the bran. Meaning, its brand is terrible, but I'll tell you what's even more terrible: the kal misubin chasan adar beveis chamav. But a son-in-law living with his father-in-law, meaning living within proximity of his mother-in-law, that's worse than that. It says the pasuk in Ben Sira: the kal michasan orech machnis orech. But I'll tell you what's worse than that. Let's say you invite a guest, and then the guest decides, you know what? I'm going to bring a guest in as well. Look, it'll be very nice of me. You know what? I'm going to so-and-so's house. I was invited. You know what? You'll come with me. Gemara quoting the pasuk of Ben Sira, that's the worst. The kama orech, meshiv davar b'term yishma. The Gemara says, but I'll go one step further. You know what's worse than that? Answering a question before the question was finished being formulated. The Gemara says that's the worst. Shenemar meshiv davar b'term yishma, avelasi lo u v'chama. Right, answering a question before you finish even hearing the question. So it's an ivelis. It's something which is it's terrible, and it's something which you're going to be embarrassed because you didn't even hear the question get finished, and you're answering the question, and that's terrible. It's interesting, by the way. The Gemara here is quoting a pasuk in Mishlei supporting the pasuk from Ben Sira. So again, the pasuk in Ben Sira speak to these, you know, to these same ideas, but it's not canonized. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Refas Bakar Yizeros Alasos Refas Bakar Man Ketani La. Gemara over here is just a real technical question in the Mishnah, and that is who made the statements in the Mishnah. Meaning, let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you're going to build an extension, it's going to be 4x6, according to Rabbi Akiva. And then the Mishnah says Rabbi Shmuel Amar Refas Bakar He. Now, how exactly is that understood in terms of a dialogue? So, man ketanila. Who said that? Igadam Rabbi Shmuel ketanila. The Igadam Rabbi Kiva ketanila. Now, let me just be a little bit clearer. The Gemara is not commenting on Rabbi Shmuel's response, meaning clearly that's Rabbi Shmuel, right? It says Rabbi Shmuel Omer Refes Bakar he. And then the Mishnah says, if you want to make a Refes Bakar, who said that? So the Gemara says, so that line can go in one of two ways. So on one hand, we could say that Rabbi Kiva said it, v'hachikamar. And the way that the Mishnah is understood is as follows. Alpha pisha refes bakar hi, pamayim sha'adam osa dirasuk refes bakar. Rabbi Kiva basically says to Rabbi Shmuel, I know you're right, meaning 4x6, yeah, that's a cattle stall. But you know what? Sometimes that's how people live. Okay. The igad amar Rabbi Shmuel ketanila, v'hachikamar. It could be that this is just simply the end of Rabbi Yishmael's response to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, you want to make an extension 4x6. Rabbi Yishmael says, that's a stall for cattle. And oh, by the way, and if you want to make a stall for cattle, it's 4x6. Okay. Traklin Yud Al Yud. A palace, 10x10, my traklin, kuvasa, bay varde. So the Gemara here gives a description. The palace is the Kuvata Bei Kave. The Rashbam writes, okay, Kein Kuba Shel Zonos. Venirali Sha'asui Chalonos Kein Kuba. Okay, it's a strange model, admittedly, but some of the opinion that it just simply has a lot of windows. Okay, anyway. Okay, yeah, with the flower, Bevardi Nosin Sham Vradim Lanoi, Listak Abaham, with flower decorations. Okay, a palace. Tani, with the Gemara quotes of Brisa, the Kantir Shemisrei Al Yud Beis. My Kantir Tarvitz Apadne. Okay, and if you're making a Kantir, right, could be very similar to the English word center. Okay, so if, let's say, the contractor was in agreement to make a center, so you're now talking about an expansive 12 by 12, 24 by 24 feet. Huge, immense. Right, the Rashbam. Chatzar Gadol shows him Sarim Bitzad HaPadne Shalahem. The princes, they use this as some sort of get-together room. V'alshem Shemarvitzim Oso Tamid B'mayim Lashkiv Ha'ava Karelei Tarvatz. And it's got a lot of floor space. And it needs constant watering. Remember back then, the dust would come up, and the way to keep the dust down is to water it. Okay, let's do a little bit more for today. Again, a technical question in the Mishnah. Who was the author of that last point of the Mishnah, of the Raila Dover? So, one way to say it is that it's just a continuation of Rishim and Gamliel. Raila Dover. Minayin Amar Rishim and Gamliel HaKol Kibinyan Heichal. So, it could be that Rishim and Gamliel is saying, look at the Heichal. Look at the construction of the first base of Mikdash. 20 by 40, which is a total of 60, divided by half is 30. And the height of it was 30. So basically, the standard height of any building is going to be length plus width divided by 2. Or it could be that the Tanakhama said it, and Rav Shimon Gamliel was kind of, he was questioning. Meaning, it's not to be understood as a statement, but rather as a rhetorical question. Raya minaya mi binyan hechal? Atukulam ke binyan hechal avde? Rav Shimon Gamliel is asking, look, I know that the hechal had the height being half of the length plus the width, but that doesn't mean that that's standard building. The Heichal is built that way. But that means that standard building has to be built that way? Okay, Tanya. Acherim Omrim, Romo Kikirasav. So according to the Acherim, the height is going to be like the length of its walls. But he doesn't say actually the length, he says like the beam. Velema Romo Kirachvo. Why not just simply say that the height is equal to the length? Why does he have to say like the beams? It's the same thing, right? Gemara says, nah, not necessarily. It could very well be that the beam actually goes further than the length because you're going to build a second floor on top of it. Or the Gemara says, it's a similar idea, that when you have a crossbeam, the crossbeam actually goes through the house and it just doesn't settle at the edge of the walls. And so therefore the crossbeam can in fact be longer than the house. And so therefore by stipulating that the height is going to be the same length of the crossbeam, so basically what you're saying is that it could very well be even a little bit longer than the length. Okay, so where do we stand in terms of our building code right now? It's not really code. It's what the expectation is in terms of building and house. So we gave the dimensions in the Mishnah of a small extension, a somewhat larger room, a palace, and then we talked about the expectations of length and width. We talked about the expectation of the height, machlokus, in the Mishnah, between the Mishnah and the Braisa, in terms of what the expected height should be. And again, all this is, of course, if nothing was stipulated, obviously. Goes back to a point that we made throughout all these prakim. If things were stipulated, so then you then have to follow what the stipulation is.